How to count it all joy, distracted by the noise. How to make sense of all your promises. That you're God and I am so. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Like a child on my knees, Lord, it comes to me. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will. I know you feel me. I know you hear me. You're the prophet for me.
Thank you. how you doing?
Oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you. We worship you in this place. We honor you, God. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. You are high above all.
Yeah.
encourage right where you are. Bless him in this place. God, we honor you. We thank you for your anointing in this place. We thank you. We thank you, God, that there is power in that name, and everything must bow before the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you in this house this morning. We thank you, Jesus. Lord.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. place. Isn't he worthy of all praise? Amen.
Amen.
He's worthy. Well, welcome to church, family. So good to see you. Won't you just turn and greet someone, welcome them today, and you may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to church. We're so glad that you're here today on this wonderful Mother's Day. And we want to honor our moms today. But I just want to welcome you all. Thank you, worship team, for a beautiful time of worship. He is worthy of all praise. You know that where it says death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? I just had a smile on my face because I thought throughout eternity, you know, when we slip from this body into eternity, which we're all going to do, I think the reality is going to hit us of what Jesus has done. And it'll be, oh death, where is your sting? There's no victory when we have Jesus. Amen? So I'm so glad about that. I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? If you are here for the first time, we'd just like to welcome you. And just say God bless you. So if you're here for the first time, we'd like to give you a gift bag where you are. Would you mind just waving your hand? Anyone here? God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else? Just lift your hand if you're here for the first time today. And in that gift bag's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. There's also a white card in there. We ask, just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in. And it gives us a chance to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Praise God. We love having visitors, don't we? Wonderful. What happened to my husband? One little screen and everybody can disappear, right? Like a whole. Wonderful. Well, this is Mother's Day today. We want to honor our moms. Amen. Well, can we have all the mothers stand to your feet right in this place today? We have you stand to your feet. Come on, let's give them a big round of applause this morning. Wonderful. We have a whole bunch of moms that are serving in the children's church today. As you're standing, our ushers are going to hand to you a flower representing your beauty and some chocolates representing your sweetness. And we couldn't think of how to do all the other good things you do. So, but I just wanted to say a couple of things. You know, just stay standing, please. Mother's Day is a day. Stay standing, please, Mom. You're the only one who doesn't listen to me. Stay standing. We set aside this day, well, it is set aside to honor all that moms do. But when you talk about all that moms do, where do you even begin, right? You know, because a mother's life is one of unending sacrifice, right? Self-sacrifice, a life of serving the needs of her family. And so it should be. Of guiding her children through the highs and the lows of life. You know, there's some very high highs in life. And there's some very low lows. And the mom is the one who's should be, and I know I see that right here, the constant, the stable, the one who offers the comfort and the support in the family. And so we honor you as mothers, who, as women who have chosen to serve God with your lives and chosen to lead your children to be followers of Christ. That is honorable, right? I know that to me is the highest calling of my life. To lead my children to follow God. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 31. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so you being here this morning in church and honoring God, maybe some of your children aren't right now, but that doesn't mean anything. It means that you are the one who's going to come before the Lord and bring them before the Lord, right? And so I know that Mother's Day is not all joy and gifts. for everyone, that we honor moms today. There are people that want to be mothers, that have faced infertility, that haven't been able to have children, and that's a heartache, especially when it comes to Mother's Day. And for the moms who have lost a child, and moms have buried a child, it's heartache, and we honor you today. And for the moms who have the special needs children, who it takes everything they've got, and it breaks their heart to see their child not reach everything they dreamed that they would, and the mom whose child has gone astray, the one who are estranged from their children, foster moms, single moms, we honor the single moms, right? They have double the strength. And I just want to say this today. I'm going to say, no matter what, where you're at your stage, don't judge yourself as whether you're a good mom or bad mom as to what your children are doing now or yesterday or tomorrow. You just honor God, stay faithful, stay praying for them, and God will come through and do what you cannot do in your own strength. And to all those moms I was talking about, to each one of you in here, I want to tell you that He walks with us. He holds your hand. He strengthens you. He gives you, He hears your prayers. He feels your pain. And He gives you grace to help in a time of need. Amen. So, Pastor Steve, you'd like to say something. Do we have any of those pictures come up on there? We had a little video, but I missed it. These are some of the moms in our church. They're going to come up there. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? They represent all these wonderful children we have. Pastor Steve?
Praise God. Well, you know, the Bible says, in, I want to read two scriptures to you, and that the first one is in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. It says, listen to your father and mother. What you learn from them will stand you in good stead. It will gain you many honors. And then, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your mother. This is the first commandment that has a promise with it. Then everything will be well with you and you will have a long life on the earth. Is there any one of the commandments that has a promise that it'll be well with you? And the Bible says we are to honor our mother. And I looked up the word honor, and it means to respect, admire, esteem, appreciate, value, cherish, adore, applaud, acclaim, salute, celebrate, recognize. That's what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't just say love your mother. It says to honor your mother. Yes. And you know, the older that I get, the more I appreciate and realize how much my mom has done for me. You know, once you have children of your own and grandchildren, then you really begin to appreciate some things your parents went through with you. And so, unfortunately, we have four children. But just Nadine is with us this morning. I don't know if you want to say anything to your mom.
No, she said anything.
You want to say something?
She's already said it to me.
Well, I will say it on your behalf. I will say it on your behalf, and that is that Jill is a wonderful mother. And I don't just say that lightly. I mean, she's really an amazing, amazing mom. Maybe too good. You might be too good today. But I celebrate you, Jill. Thanks for being such a wonderful mother. Jill became a mom at 19. We got married at 18, become a mom at 19. She's really been a mother her whole life, and now grandmother and Gigi. And so there you go. There's Gigi with the grandbaby. So I want to pray of all the moms this morning. Father, won't you stretch your hands towards your mom, and if she's standing next to you, just, you know, give her a hug, put your arm around her, put your hand upon her, and we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you for all the moms here today. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that they make and for all that they do, Lord. And And your word says that we should honor our mother and Lord. We honor the moms today. Yes. We pray that you bless them, strengthen them. We pray, Lord, that their children would rise up and call them blessed.
Yes.
We pray, Father, you would guide them. We pray, Lord, you'd fill them with peace. We pray, Father, you'd grant every desire of their heart in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you doing well today?
Yes.
Good. You glad to be here, Tom?
Yes.
Who's glad to be in church today?
Yes.
Say it out.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell him you're looking good today. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you that you are my helper. I'm making it known that I'm trusting in you. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm depending on you, Lord, to anoint me, to speak through me today. And I give you all the praise for everything said and done. I thank you for touching every life, touching every heart. Thank you that your word comes alive in our hearts today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you that we are living under the open windows of heaven. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I am living
under
the open windows of heaven. That's what I'm speaking about this morning. I want to speak about open windows, where you live under the open windows of heaven. God pours blessing upon you. How many people want to live under the open windows of heaven?
Yes.
I do. You know, we all come to places in our life where we reach our limits. We've gone as far as our education allows, or the medical report says we're not going to get well, or we try to break that addiction, but we haven't been able to do it. Listen, it's easy to settle where you are and think it's never going to change. But the word of God declares in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Say, windows of heaven. I'll open for you the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it or to receive it. Now, the contemporary version says it like this: I am the Lord, all powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. God says, I'll open the windows of heaven and I will flood you with blessing after blessing. And one more translation, the easy to read version. It says, the Lord All-Powerful says, try this test. Try this test. Bring one-tenth of your things to me. Put them in the treasury. Bring food to my house. Test me. If you do these things, I will surely bless you. Good things will come to you like rain falling down from the sky. You will have more than enough of everything you need. Good things will come to you like rain falling down on the sky. How many of you like to live your life with God raining down good things upon you, blessing after blessing after blessing? Anybody in here this morning? Well, thank God. You might have reached your limits on your own. There might be obstacles that you can't seem to overcome, but the good news is you are not on your own. Thank God we are not on our own, because if you are a tither, if you are a giver, because you are honoring God, the Bible says you are living under the open windows of heaven. Now I'm talking to two groups of people this morning. I'm talking to people that are already tithing. And I want to stir you up this morning, because I want you to go out of here today with an expectancy, and with the attitude, I am living under the open windows of heaven, and God is raining blessing after blessing upon me. Blessings are chasing me down. I want to stir your faith today. The second group of people is people that are not yet tithing. You haven't taken that step of faith. You're not honoring the Lord with your tithe. And I want to encourage you today to take that step of faith, because when you do, you will find yourself living under the open windows of heaven. Let me tell you, if you will get your passion back, start believing again, start expecting again, I'm going to tell you, God is going to rain down favor. He's going to rain down good breaks. He's going to rain down abundance. I declare it over you this morning. God is about to open the windows of heaven and rain blessing upon you. He told me to tell you that. And you might think this is an unusual message to preach on Mother's Day, Pastor Steve. But I always preach what the Lord tells me to preach, whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Easter Day, Christmas Day. I'm going to preach whatever God says. And He told me to tell you, get ready, for the open windows of heaven are open above your life, and He's getting ready to rain down blessing upon you. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that medical report may not look good, but let me tell you, under the open windows of heaven, healing is raining down. God can do what medicine cannot do. You might have gone as far as you can go in your own career, but under the open windows of heaven, increase is raining down. Divine connections, divine opportunities, open doors. You maybe haven't been able to break that addiction, but listen, don't accept it as the way that it's always going to be, because you have an advantage, family. You are under the open windows of heaven. It's just a matter of time before freedom rains down. You know, sometimes we think we're at a disadvantage. Oh, Pastor Steve, I don't have, you know, their talents, and I don't have those connections, and I don't have that experience, and if I was taller, or if I had a better personality, or if I knew the right people, then, you know, then maybe I could be successful. Listen, if you think you're at a disadvantage, you're going to live at a disadvantage. If you think lack, you're going to have lack. Instead of thinking I'm at a deficit, I'm lacking, you should turn that around and declare, I'm living under the open windows of heaven. I have everything I need. I have an abundance. I have an abundance of talent. Amen. I have an abundance of ideas. I have an abundance of strength. I have an abundance of health. I have an abundance of wisdom. I have an abundance of favor. You've got to get rid of that lack mentality. You see? You've got to have an abundant mentality. You may not see it yet, but don't worry, your time is coming. God is about to do something unusual, something extraordinary, something that you haven't seen before. Amen? God said He would pour out blessings that you don't have room enough to contain. That means if you have room, you haven't seen the fullness of what God is going to do. He's going to give you so many opportunities that you can't take them all. You'd have to pick and choose. Hello? I've got so many blessings. I've got so many vacations that have come at me. I've got like 5 or 6 vacations. I don't have the time to take all the vacations. Someone bought me a cruise. Someone paid for me to go to Mexico for a week. Someone paid for me to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. I mean, I've got to find the time. That's a problem to have, isn't it? Pray for me. You feel sorry for me. Let me tell you, God is going to give you so many clients, so much business, you'll have to send some to your co-worker. You may even have to send some to your competitor. So many resources, so much savings, you have to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. And I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about so much joy that you share joy wherever you go. So much peace, so much strength, so much ability that instead of needing someone to encourage you, you are the encourager. You are the lifter. You're the one bringing a smile to somebody's face. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, this phrase, the windows of heaven, it's found in another place in Scripture, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 7, at the time when God flooded the earth, the time of Noah. It says in the 600th year of Noah's life, Noah lived over 600 years in the early days of Genesis, people did. In the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights. Now what happened? Water covered the whole earth. How many of you know it wasn't just a little sprinkle? It wasn't a minor event. It was a major flood. It was a huge downpour. Amen? And when God says that He's going to open the windows of heaven in your life, that doesn't mean He's just going to help you make it through the day or give you strength to get past that problem. I mean, that's good. We're grateful for everything that the Lord does, but that's not what this is talking about. God's talking about a flood of His goodness. He's talking about doing something major where you step back and you say, wow, I didn't see that coming. There will be blessings that you cannot contain. Amen. And you cannot explain. All you can say is that was the goodness of God in my life. That was a flood of blessing poured out upon me. Amen. 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 You know, Dolores, where'd you go, Dolores?
I'm right here, Pastor.
Dolores, you socializing. Dolores. She started having blackouts in her vision a while ago. And started out, it was just 30 seconds, and then it was a minute. And then the worst, it got 30 minutes. 30 minutes, she lost her vision. How many of you know that would scare me?
Completely blind.
Totally blind, 30 minutes. And she went to the doctor, and they found an aneurysm in her brain. And she was going to go for surgery. She went for surgery. We prayed for her. We prayed for her Bible college. And she went in to have the surgery, and the surgeons couldn't find the aneurysm. It had gone. How can that be? Because she's living under the open windows of heaven. God's raining down healing. Let me tell you, when God rains down healing, aneurysms cannot stay. When God rains down joy, depression has to go. When God rains down favor and good breaks, it's going to thrust you to a next level in your life. You won't be able to explain it. You weren't the most qualified. You weren't the next in line. You shouldn't have been chosen. But you look up and you're further than you ever dreamed of in your life. What happened? The windows of heaven opened up. God rained down increase. God took you where you couldn't go on your own. And let me tell you, in this year of yes that I believe we're living in, you are going to see things happen that you can't explain. Amen. Like with Dolores, the medical report suddenly turns around. Your business suddenly takes off. You suddenly break that addiction. You've been faithful, you've given, you've served. I want you to get ready. The heavens are about to open up. I want you to get ready. God is about to do something like you've never seen before in your life, family. In the name of Jesus, if you will expect it today, if you will receive this today, let me tell you, it's going to be a bountiful year. It's going to be an abundant year. It's going to be a prosperous year. Yeah, I want to tell you, the reason I'm preaching this, the Bible says that God confirms His word with signs following. And you better get ready, because God is going to confirm what I'm telling you today with signs following in your life if you will believe it. Problems that seem permanent, suddenly going to turn around. Doors that have been closed for years, suddenly they're going to open. You're not going to have to go after opportunities. Opportunities are going to come after you. See, you got to do your part. All through the day, Father, I want to thank you that I am living under the open windows of heaven. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are pouring out a flood of blessing that I cannot contain.
Amen.
Your mind may tell you, this isn't going to happen for you. Nothing is going to change for you. Listen, don't believe those lies. Keep thanking God for what He's about to do. Because praise is what causes the heavens to open. Praise causes the heavens to open. When you live worried and you're discouraged and you're complaining, that just stops the rain from coming down. And you may not see how it can happen, but this is what faith is all about, family. God, I don't see a way, but I know you have a way. My circumstances tell me that I'm stuck, but I'm not moved by what I see, Lord. I'm moved by what I know. And I know that I am under the open windows of heaven. I know that you are raining down blessings upon me. See, when you get this down in your spirit, you will not be intimidated because of the size of your dream. You will not be discouraged by the problems that you face. You won't live thinking you're at a disadvantage. You'll have a confidence. You'll have an expectancy. You'll know that any moment the heavens are about to open up and blessings are about to flood you. You see, when you do your part, then God will do his part. God will cause people to be good to you. He'll open doors that you couldn't open. The same God that sent provision can send healing. He can send the person of your dreams. He can send the breakthrough that you need. Amen. I believe you're about to see the heavens open up. I believe God is going to surprise you. I believe people are going to go out of their way to be good to you. Contracts and scholarships and opportunities, they're going to come looking for you. You're not going to have to force it to happen. You're not going to have to try and persuade people to be for you. God is going to cause it to fall into place on your behalf. So I want to tell you today, quit worrying about the legal situation. I said, quit worrying about the legal situation. Quit losing sleep over that problem at work. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. He is your vindicator. He is protecting your reputation. If you just stand still, you will see the deliverance of the Lord. It's going to happen sooner than you think. And it's going to turn out better than what you thought. And you've got to let the seed take root in your heart. Because thoughts are going to tell you, oh, this isn't for you today. Pastor Steve's not talking to you today. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. You're a tither. You planted in the house of the Lord. God has promised he will open the windows of heaven. He has promised he will pour out blessings that you cannot contain. And in fact, it goes on to say in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What does that mean? That means it's talking about the enemy. It's talking about things that would have devoured opportunities. Things that would have devoured finances. Things that would have caused you to lose income. Harm your children. Spend money on things that keep breaking down. Because you're a tither. God says he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now listen, it's one thing when we pray. It's good when we stand against the forces of darkness. But when you're under the open windows of heaven, the creator of the universe says, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you. You don't have to live worried, uptight, fearful, on edge. You have a protector. You have a defender. The Most High God is standing guard over your life. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. There have been many times that God has rebuked the devourer and we knew nothing about it. Do you know that? He kept you from that sickness. He protected you from that accident. He kept that tree from falling on your house. He kept that supervisor from holding you back. It's good to thank God for the blessing, the promotion, the favor. But sometimes you need to thank God for what didn't happen. Thank him that you didn't get sick. Thank him that you didn't get laid off. Thank him that your child didn't get in trouble. That was God behind the scenes, rebuking the devourer for your sake. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. You rebuke the devourer. Now remember, that promise is for a title. That promise is for those who honor God with a tithe. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created the earth, the Bible says that the earth was dark. There was darkness over the face of the deep, and the earth was without form. And in verse number 3, it says, then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And that was the first day of creation. You know what's interesting? God didn't create the sun until the fourth day. Did you know that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. So God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he also made the stars. Now how many of you know that's talking about the sun and the moon? And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the... What day was that? Give me the next verse. Give me the next verse. Give me verse 19. There you go. The fourth day. But there was light from the first day. Was there light from the first day?
Yes.
How many know that doesn't make sense? How can it be? Isn't the sun our source of light? Listen, you know what God was showing us? God can bless you without a source. God don't need the sun to give you light. God can promote you without people being for you. God can heal you without the treatment. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary, he said, you're going to have a baby without a man. God can bring a baby without a man. In the Old Testament, God brought water out of a rock. No lake, no stream, no source. He brought water out of a rock. And when you look at your situation and you think about all the reasons why you can't get well, why you can't accomplish that dream, why you can't break that addiction, why you don't have what you need, God is not limited by what you don't have. God doesn't need a traditional source. He is God. He is unlimited. He is the source. When God needs light, how many of you know when God needs light, He doesn't have to wait for the sun? He speaks and creates light without the sun. Light be and light was. And what God has destined for you, He can do without a bank. He can do without the treatment. He can do it without the experience. He can do it without the support. He may not do it in a traditional way, family. What God, let me tell you, what God has planned for you, He doesn't check with your bank account. All right, this is what I want you to do. Let me just check what's in the bank account. He doesn't check with your friends and see if they approve. No, He speaks and it becomes. He's going to bless you without a source. You're going to see things happen and you're going to think, how did I get here? How did I know how to do this? How do we get this new building? Family, that was God blessing us without a source, without a bank. Amen. And this is what happened to Ruth in the scripture. She was out in the fields. She was picking up leftover wheat. She was trying to survive. But God gave her favor with a man named Boaz. He was the owner of this farm. And the Bible says in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz ordered his young men. He said, let her gather grain right among the sheaves. Don't stop her. In fact, he said, pull out some of the heads of barley and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up. Don't give her a hard time. Don't tell her about it. Just take some of the barley and just drop it for her. It was like the windows of heaven opened up for her. She came into an abundance, but she didn't see the source. She didn't realize where it was coming from. She didn't know the owner was doing that. And I want to tell you, God is going to make things happen where you don't see a source. It's not going to be traditional. Quit worrying because of what you don't see. How can your situation work out? Listen, God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. His ways are better than our ways. Sometimes we're waiting for the sun for light. And God says, I don't need the sun. I just speak and it happens. Amen. You know, in Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian man. He traveled a great distance to Jerusalem to go and worship in the temple. And he was the treasurer for Queen Candace, who was the queen of Ethiopia. And he was on his way back home. He was riding in his chariot and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he and Philip had been in Samaria having a great revival. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 verse 26 that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip's just had this amazing revival in Samaria, and people being saved and miracles happening. And now the angel says to him, go south, take the road in the desert that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And I'm sure it didn't make much sense to Philip. I mean, things were going so great in Samaria. Now he's supposed to leave that and go down to the desert. But the Bible says in verse 27, so he arose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasury, he came to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. And so he took off running at full speed. He caught up with the chariot. And he heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. The place where he read was where it says in Isaiah, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. How many of you know who that's talking about? Who is that prophesying? This is not a trick question. Talking about Jesus. And so Philip asked the man, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, no, he didn't. So he invited Philip to get up in the chariot. So Philip climbed in the chariot and he started to explain how Isaiah was talking about Jesus. How Jesus came to be the Savior. And he shared the good news of the gospel with this Ethiopian eunuch. And the man was so excited that he saw some water. And he told his driver to stop. And he asked Philip, if I could, will you baptize me? That man's life was changed because of that one encounter where God sent Philip to him. And you know what's amazing to me? Is that the man wasn't looking for Philip. The man didn't even know Philip. Philip chased him down. An unexpected blessing. This man was minding his own business, riding in his chariot, and out of nowhere, Philip showed up and gave him insight that took him to the next level in his life. And I want to tell you, like that man, because you're a tither, because you're honoring God, God is going to have the right people search you out. He is going to cause good breaks to find you. You might not realize it, but right now, there's a Philip chasing your chariot. There's a blessing that God has ordained to track you down. Amen. People are going to use their influence and their experience to help you, to push you forward, to help you go where you couldn't go by yourself. I'm going to tell you, some Philips are coming your way. This man was leaving the temple when Philip found him. He went to Jerusalem to the temple. Do you know, when you take time to go to the house of the Lord, don't be surprised if when you get home, or sometime this week, or sometime this month, a Philip shows up, something unusual, an unexpected blessing. It's because you're living under the open windows of heaven. When I look back on my life, I can see the Philips. You know, I didn't finish high school. I got a job when I was 17, working at the bank, my very first job. I started honoring God. I started tithing. I was making $100 a week. My first job, I made $100 a week. And I started tithing $10. Yeah, $10 isn't anything big to me now. I usually tip the valet $10. But back then, it was a big deal. And so one day, I'm walking through the mall, and I see a man setting out a furniture, setting up just a beautiful furniture display. And it got my attention, and I felt something on the inside prompting me, go and talk to this man. And I was much more shy in those days. I'm not like that now. Those days are gone forever. But sometimes shyness can hold you back from how God wants to use you. But I was shy, but I took all my courage, and I was 19 years old, and I went over to this man and I introduced myself, and it turned out he was a Christian. His name was Norman Battles. He and his four brothers owned a chain of high-end furniture stores, and one of his salespeople had just resigned, and he found out I'm a Christian. We just hit the God gave me favor. He offered me a job. I went from making $100 a week to making $500 a week. That was a Philip. Plus, we ended up with an apartment full of beautiful furniture. That was a Philip. He was a Philip to me. Last month, a man called me out of the blue. I never met him. He saw me on TV. You just think about it. We just pulled that ad off TV, okay? I've got an ad with Joel Osteen that we ran for a long time. And we just took a break and we pulled it off. We're going to do another one. But just think the timing that he saw that ad. Because we just pulled it off. And like 2 weeks before we did, he calls me up out of the blue. He says, I saw you on TV. I want to help you. He's Jewish. He's not a Christian. He's a Jewish man. He says, I want to help you. He said, I've got a building. He offered to sell me his building right on Indian Town Road. He said, you don't need a boat. You don't need a loan. You don't need a bank. I don't have a mortgage. Hardly any money down. That was a Philip to me. That was a Philip who chased me down. That was a Philip who came looking for me. I want to tell you, there's Philip coming after you. There's Philip chasing after you. Amen? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, chasing you down. The contemporary Bible says all these blessings will come upon you and find you because you obey the Lord's voice. They are blessings looking for you. They're going to find you. They're going to chase you down. The Message Bible says all these blessings will come on you and spread out beyond you because you've responded to the voice of the Lord your God. Let me tell you, when you keep God first place, when you are a tither, because you're under the open windows of heaven, blessings will overtake you. They'll catch you by surprise. And you need to get ready because some Philips are about to show up. Good traits that you didn't see coming. People that go out of their way to be good to you. Opportunities that thrust you to the next level. You couldn't have made it happen. Like that Ethiopian man, you don't have the connections. You didn't even know him. It was the hand of God. Maybe you're believing to meet the right person. Listen, you don't have to force things to happen. If you're single, you don't have to try and convince somebody to like you. You don't have to compromise your values to find a partner. You just stay on the high road and you keep honoring God and he'll have the right people find you. Lady, Philip is on the way. And if you're a man, Phyllis is on the way. Somebody better than you can imagine. See, you don't have to seek after people. Seek after God. He'll bring the divine connection. The right people that will move you further into your destiny. Amen.
Amen.
I see that happen. So I've seen ladies, single ladies. I've seen it with men too. You know, they still want to be with someone. They meet someone that's not the right person. And the next thing, they're not coming to church. They're not serving God. Listen, man. I'm not going to hell for anybody. I'm going to be God to bring the right person to me. Then he'll bring the right one. Someone will serve God with you. If you're dating someone and they don't want to come to church, they don't want to come to church, they want to serve God, do yourself a favor. Move on, man. MoveOn.com, my wife. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, in 1 Kings 18, there was a drought in Samaria. It lasted for 3.5 years. No water, no rain. The crops all dried up. I mean, people were struggling. They had little food, trying to survive. The Bible says in verse 1, that it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. In the third year, he said, go present yourself to Ahab. That was the king, King Ahab. I will send rain on the earth. Now, there's been no rain for 3.5 years. Elijah, go tell Ahab, I'm sending rain. Rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming. Rain's coming. And it says in verse 21, Elijah said to Ahab, go up and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Can you hear the sound? I hear the sound of abundance raining down upon you. I hear the sound of abundance raining down upon this church. Now Elijah went up on the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees. Bowed down before the Lord. I believe he's praying, he's worshiping God. He could have said, God, this isn't fair. I'm a giver. I'm serving you. But I'm not living under the open windows of heaven. I'm in a drought. But instead of complaining, Elijah went up on the top of Mount Carmel. And he began to thank God that the rain is coming. I can hear him saying, Lord, thank you, the rain is on the way. Thank you, you're changing things in my favor.
Yes.
He sent his assistant out. Go look if there's any clouds in the sky. Man came back. Basically said in effect, sorry Elijah, your prayers aren't doing any good. There's no clouds. That's when a lot of people give up. That's when a lot of people get discouraged. Oh, Pastor Steve, I've been giving. I've been coming to church. I've been helping others. Nothing's changed. I'm still in a drought. Thank God Elijah didn't do that. When he heard the news, there was no clouds. Instead of being discouraged, I can imagine he turned up his praise.
Yeah,
what's it, Monique? Where you? Where's Monique at?
Right here.
Turn it up. Make it louder. Make it louder. Turn it up. Turn it up. Lord, thank you that you're opening the windows of heaven. Thank you, rain is on the way.
Yes.
The Bible says Elijah sent his assistant out again and again, six times. Six times. Same time, he brought back the same answer every time. No clouds. Not a cloud in the sky. Now imagine you went out and there's not a cloud in the sky. Sometimes it gets like that in Florida. Totally blue sky. And I said to you, rain's coming. You tell me. That's just, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you'd at least need to see a rain cloud, right?
Yeah.
The Bible says it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud. It's as small as a man's hand. Rising up out of the sea. So he said, go to Ahab and tell him, prepare your chariot. And go down before the rain stops you. Now can you imagine you're going to the king? I think you're a nut. Prophet Elijah told me to tell you, get ready, the rain's coming. Not a cloud in the sky. It happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins. And he ran ahead of King Ahab. He outran the chariot. Elijah outran the chariot. Listen to me. When you are under the open windows of heaven, God will help you to accomplish things that you could never accomplish by yourself. Philip caught up to his chariot to help the Ethiopian man. Elijah outran the chariot.
Yes.
But here's the key. Elijah heard rain in his spirit before he saw rain on the outside. Listen to me. God always put things in your spirit before they come to pass. That's why you've got to latch on to the promises of God. Because in the middle of struggle and lack, you've got to hear abundance. You've got to believe for abundance. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There's not a cloud in the sky, but I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. See, in loneliness, you've got to hear friendship. In sickness, you've got to hear help. In trouble, in opposition, you've got to hear victory. The things you've been hearing in your spirit, the abundance, the dreams, the healing, the child coming home, meeting the right person, you've heard it on the inside. And like Elijah, it's about to happen. You've been praying. You've been thanking God. You've been doing the right thing. Get ready. The heavens are about to open up. You're going to see an abundance of favor, an abundance of blessing, an abundance of increase in your life in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Come on, give him a big hand of praise and a shout today if you believe that. God is going to bless you without a source. Do you know that your job is not your source? Your husband is not your source. The government is not your source. Quit focusing on what you don't have. All Elijah had was a little cloud. No chance for rain in the natural. But we serve a supernatural God. He can give water without rain. He can give light without sun. He can give healing without the treatment. He can give promotion without people being for you and on your side. But all through the day, you need to be declaring, Father, I want to thank you that I am living under the open windows of heaven. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are pouring out floods of blessing on my life. I want to thank you that blessings are chasing me down in the name of Jesus. Have an abundant mentality. Honor God by tithing. Putting him first. Because if you'll do it, let me tell you, I believe that God is about to pour out blessings that you cannot contain. I believe Philip's are about to catch up to your chariot. Unexpected favor. divine connections, healings, breakthroughs, the fullness of your destiny. I declare it in the name of Jesus today. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are living under the open windows of heaven, and that blessings are being poured out, are seeking you out. They're going to find you. They're chasing you down in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? How many people believe that this morning? I believe that today. Stacy, come up here for a second. As you've heard from Stacy before, she told, I don't know, maybe last month, how that the Lord blessed her when she sowed a $1,000 offering. It was over and above her tithe, and she was facing a tax bill. She had a bill from the IRS for $14,000, and you didn't know where you were going to get it from. And so she felt the Lord prompt her to sow this $1,000, and she did. And in 1 month, her business made $27,000. She paid the whole tax bill.
It was about $40,000 in 6 weeks.
$40,000 in 6 weeks. You paid the tax bill. You got a car. Praise the Lord. But today, you're going to tell us what happened to you. When you first started coming to this church, it was like in 2009.
2008.
In 2008, she first started coming to the church. And I want her to tell you what happened, because I said, when you help to build God's house, God will help to build your house. If you want God to build your house, then help build His house. Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Seek first the kingdom of God. The contemporary Bible says, more than anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. And then the other things will be yours too. More than anything else, put God's work first. Yeah. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, put God's work first, and then everything else will be added to you. So I want you to tell us what happened when you first started coming.
I'm going to try to keep a very long story as short as possible. He's like, do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell it? I'm like, it'll be shorter if you tell the story than me. But as Pastor Steve said, I started coming to CFC in 2008. It was the end of 2008. And at that time, you were asking for money to move into the building on Center Street. And when I first started coming to the church, the Lord had spoke to me that He wanted me to commit $500 a month in an offering to give to the building, which was perfectly fine. Had no issue with doing that. After about a month of coming to the church, I felt like He was telling me to give $10,000 in the building fund. I was like, what? I'm like, you get kind of one of those things. God, was that you? Well, let me say, the enemy's not going to tell you to give $10,000 to God's kingdom. It's not going to happen.
That's right.
And I had never given that amount of money. I mean, usually, I made good money. I had a six-figure salary. The most I'd ever given in tithes was like $12,000 for a whole year. So that was like, wow, a tall order. So I'm like, oh man, I don't know about this. So I'm like, I'm going to pray over this check for a whole week. I anointed that check. I prayed over it. I confessed over it.
So you wrote it down.
I wrote it out. I was holding it in my hand. Praying on it every day. And so anyway, on the fourth day that I'm doing this, I get a notice that my main source of income is pulling the contract. It's breaching the contract. And it's gone and it's done. And I'm like, are you kidding me that I have this check? So in the natural, what do you think most people's reaction would be? God, that couldn't be you. I need to hold on to this money. Right. I need it. I can't give it. I didn't have a lot of money in savings at the time. And I just said, you know what, Lord? I bless that man. I forgive him. I pray for him. And I'm moving forward. And I'm giving you this $10,000, like, no matter what. I was still going to fulfill that commitment. And the interesting thing was, at the time, I didn't really have a need. And this is where it goes into, like, trusting God and how all these messages you've been doing each week, all of those have played out in this full testimony, if you ever heard the whole thing. But He knew, like, what was ahead of me when I didn't know what was ahead of me, because there was no reason for me. I didn't have a need to sow $10,000. And sometimes you sow for a need, and I didn't have that. But He was speaking it to me, and so I did it. And then it was probably about 6 weeks later, I was told that the house I was renting had to be out because they were going to sell the house. So they're like, you can buy it or you can, move out. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because now I was down to only making about $2,000 a month because I lost this contract. So that is not a time to have to move and look for anything. So, you know, when I got that call after I got on the phone, I started laughing hysterically. I couldn't stop laughing. And I'm like, God, that's got to be you. I'm like, you got to have something, you know, in my future here, because this is just, everything was like hitting me and it didn't make any sense. So I was going to, you know, buy a house in like a year or two, whatever. So anyway, I had to start looking for a house, and I found, the funny thing was, you remember all before the real estate market crashed. You could get approved for these huge loans and buy these fancy houses. Well, after the crash, I'm going back, and now I don't have my full-time income anymore because I just started my own business. I should have prefaced the story with that. I just stepped out on my own. Guaranteed paycheck was gone. So all of this was kind of like working together. So when I went to qualify, they're like, we're not going to approve you for more than $160,000 for a loan. And I'm like, what in the heck can I get for 160 grand? That's what we're living in. You guys know, you know, living in the area. And so I was looking in Gardens because I wanted to move back to Gardens, couldn't find anything. My realtor in Gardens sent me a listing in Stewart. And she's like, you need to look at this listing in Stewart. I'm like, I don't want to be in Stewart. I want to leave Stewart. She's like, you need to look at it. It was a foreclosure for $158,000, which was like very interesting. And oh, and by the way, after I gave the $10,000, let me say this, God told me to keep giving the $500 a month commitment on top of that. It did not let me off the hook for the monthly $500. So anyway, in getting that house, I faced a lot of obstacles in getting it. And I remember I kept being told no, 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 like every day there was something, no. And I had gotten a prophetic word right before that, and I had no idea what it meant. Just the prophetic word was, don't take no for an answer. You know, God speaking me to that in advance. So I'm like, this is my house, this is my house. No matter what was coming at me, this is my house. And my realtor's like, somebody doesn't want you to have this house. He's like, I don't think this is going to happen. I'm like, this is my house. It is mine. It belongs to me. And he thought I was like nuts, like I was losing my mind. So anyway, long story short, you know, I get in the house, and even getting, you know, I get the house, I was able to close in less than 30 days, which like never happens. I had 10 days to spare before I had to be out of my rental, which was really cool. But when I moved in, all the back taxes had been paid, back HOA fees had been paid. I got a free month's rent from the people who, you know, were booting me out of the house because they wanted to sell. Like all these other blessings like came in, you know, to play like in that process. And even if, you know, the letter I sent you was a 5-page letter, even over the next year, like God being in all the details of like everything with this house, like it just was like unbelievable. And so when I got in the house, this was the funny thing. Anybody who's gone through a mortgage process, you know, that is the most invasive process I think anybody can, you know, go through in producing documentation. And so many things I had to keep coming up with and showing them. The one thing they never did before we closed was ask for final verification of my current income. If they had, I never would have gotten that loan because it was only about $2,000. And that like blew my mind. I'm like, God, that is so you. I'm like, the one thing that would have blown it completely out of the water. And then just for, you know, a year after that, I mean, business picked up a little bit, but it wasn't, you know, really coming in like I'd hoped. But just God will supernaturally stretch what you have. Because when I moved in that house, after I put down the down payment, did some other things, I had like $5,000 in the bank. And it was funny, like every time I go back and look at my bank account, no matter what I had spent, I'm like, I still have $5,000 in the bank. How did that even happen? Like, it was the oddest, you know, thing. And so then just the following year, I got the tax rebate on the house. It paid off my tax debt that year. I got a refund. I mean, just so many things along the way. So, you know, the point is in sharing that God, you know, some of you may have a need, yeah. You know, and if God's speaking to you to sow, yeah. There's a reason, even if you don't have a need, he's seeing ahead of you. Like with me, he saw ahead, and I know I've gotten, you know, much, much, much return on that $10,000, and, you know, that's why I wanted to share that. And don't feel, I know some people get discouraged, well, geez, she gave $10,000, I have to give $10,000 for it to happen for me. No, for some of you, $100 is the equivalent of what $10,000 was to me back then. So it is absolutely not about the amounts. I don't want anybody to think that, you know, $10 might be all that you have to your name, but I know that I know that I know. And you guys probably get sick of my stories, but take it up with God, not me. You know, you know, when I've been tithing and giving offerings since I was 20 years old. This is just second nature to me, and I've just seen it, you know, so many times. And so I want to encourage you, if he's speaking to you,
Amen.
Don't ignore that. There's a reason for it. Like he spoke to me before about the tax thing, so the money. You know, I've sewed into this. When you're sitting here talking today, he's telling me, I gave you a check, what, last week? He's like, sew again. I'll be writing you another check after service. So be, that word was really encouraging to me too. So be obedient, you know, to that. And I know that, you know, he'll move on your behalf. So if anybody in here, if that speaks to you, you know, don't ignore that. Especially if something's coming at you, you know, like me, like I said, I could have held on to that $10,000 check after I lost all my income, but I didn't do it. So no matter what's thrown at you, just, you know, keep sowing, keep giving, and it works. Just be obedient.
Amen. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you. Thank you.
I actually don't want to talk, but the Lord won't leave me alone. I'm sitting there, won't leave me alone. Earlier, I gave you the flower. I said, hold my flower, because I'm busy taking pictures. The Lord told me that you're going to have a baby. And I said, a baby? In order to have a baby, you have to be married, right? According to God's laws and the right laws. And he said, yeah, it's because she's going to get married first. I just have to say that. I don't take it off
me. Right? So you wanted to be married, right? You believe it for a partner, right?
I wanted to be married, like ASAP. I don't want to have kids. I've never wanted to have kids. So if I'm a stepmom, it's all good.
Let's see what happens. Huh? Let's see what happens. Thank you, Doris, for being obedient. Praise God. Well, listen, thanks for sharing that, Stacy. I just want to encourage you, family, the reason I wanted Stacy to share it is that I want you to know how this works in people's lives. How that when you honor God, that you live under the open windows of heaven. When you don't honor God, the windows of heaven are closed. Now, how many of you want the windows of heaven open? How many want the windows of heaven closed? Well, the key to having the windows of heaven open in your life is to honor the Lord, put Him first by tithing, the first 10%. And also, I want to say this to you as we get ready. We're going to be giving right now, and then we're going to be closing the service in a few minutes. But as you prepare, I want to thank everyone who has given toward our new building. If you hadn't heard, the Lord has done a great miracle.
Yeah.
The Lord has done a great miracle.